Welcome to Now. I'm David Byrd.
And I'm Manny Eck.
Do you have a Facebook page? Do you use your own photo? Well, there's a California company that is making 3D avatars you might be interested in.
Since it's an avatar of yourself, you could probably use it on, like, Facebook or something and, like, personalize yourself and, like, have a 3D model of yourself on Facebook rather than just having, like, a profile picture.
Scientists are working on a new hearing aid with the help of a small fly.
What we were able to accomplish with this prototype is exactly what the fly itself does, which is to localize audible sound.
The late Philip Seymour Hoffman stars in a new spy thriller.
Fans for the British show Downton Abbey are eagerly waiting for season 5.
And Magic is just one of several international acts that are lighting up the U.S. pop music scene.
That's all coming up on this Monday edition of Now.
Manny, I know you have a Facebook page, right?
Yes, I do.
Now, do you use your own photo in your profile?
Of course.
Yeah?
Why wouldn't I?
Well, some people don't. Some people don't want to be identified.
Maybe they have something to hide.
Yeah, I know. Well, I use a photo that my wife and I took on our vacation last year in Paris.
I've seen it.
On the Pont des Arts, where they have all these locks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lovers write their name on the lock, and they lock the thing
you did
on
that?
The bridge. And yes. Yes, we did.
Cheesy.
And it's cheesy, but it's a, you know, it's a great photograph, and we both look very happy, you know. But sometime in the not-too-distant future, there might be a 3D avatar that replaces those two-dimensional photos that people use on their profile.
Elizabeth Lee takes us to a California company that is on the cutting edge of the technology.
Imagine two-dimensional photos and avatars in social media being replaced by three-dimensional representations of the actual user. Research scientist Ari Shapiro says that technology is just around the corner.
For me, it's exciting to see that we now have, or soon a lot of people have the capability to model themselves very, very quickly for almost no cost.
Shapiro demonstrated how the 3D avatar technology works at an open house at the Mixed Reality Lab, a part of the University of Southern California Institute for Creative Technologies. One of the attendees, Jason Suh, received a quick body scan and within minutes saw an avatar of himself moving around on a computer monitor.
It's insane. Within like a minute or so, they got a copy of me, a 3D model of me, had me like jumping and running. Since it's an avatar of yourself, you could probably use it on like Facebook or something and like personalize yourself and like have a 3D model of yourself on Facebook rather than just having like a profile picture.
Users will need the software, a computer, and a scanner such as the Microsoft Kinect to get a 360-degree body scan to create the avatar. Since the process takes only a few minutes, users can change the look of the avatar every day. The technology captures the person's clothes, hairstyle, and accessories, such as glasses or a purse. The computer software then uses a variety of stored animations to make the avatar come to life. Shapiro says 3D avatars can change the social media experience and make people feel more connected.
So if you could imagine having a Facebook page where you have not only you typing some information, but your virtual character speaks the information, or some sort of social application where you and your friends and your family are shown as these avatars. So we believe that there's a very interesting psychological effect that's going to happen when people start seeing themselves and families and friends inside these simulations. We think it'll be very powerful.
Three-dimensional avatars created for Hollywood movies can cost millions of dollars, but this type of avatar is much cheaper.
We expect it's going to be on the order of $10, $50, maybe $100 tops for a piece of software that can capture you and simulate you.
There is a trade-off for the low price tag. For the moment, these avatars are missing some fine details, such as dimples and the creasing of the eyes. But Shapiro says as sensor technology improves, so will the quality. He is also working on capturing movements and behaviors, such as how a person walks and interacts and socializes with others, to create 3D avatars with personality. Elizabeth Lee for VOA News, Los Angeles.
To see video of this story, log on to our website, www.voanews.com.
And how about you? Would you replace your photo with a 3D avatar? Let us know by visiting our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And you can also send us your comments on Twitter, at NowVOAShow.
I'm Ira Melman with an invitation for you to come and visit the American Cafe. It's a place where you can come and get a taste of America, from the bitter to the sweet. This past week, the United States recognized some mistakes it had made in the past.
Some of these soldiers fought and died for a country that did not always see them as equal.
For some in the Asian American communities, some stereotypes, although positive, are not always helpful.
What ends up happening is that we don't see what problems actually exist under the surface.
And then there are those who put it all on the line at a very popular festival in the capital city of Texas.
I don't know what to do with my life, but I really, 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 really want to be famous.
Come and visit the American Cafe. We have a new program for you every week. You can hear it on the radio, on the web, or iTunes, or at voanews.com. Come join us. No reservation necessary.
Wait till you're announced. We've not yet lost all our graces. The hounds will stay in chains. Look upon your greatness as you'll send the call out, 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 send.
Most of us think of flies as a nuisance, something that we shoo away from our face or our food.
But some scientists are learning a lot from a small fly, lessons that one day could help those with hearing loss.
As VOA's Roseanne Skirbel tells us, what they're learning from this tiny pest could one day revolutionize hearing aids.
Ormia ochraca is a parasite. As part of its life cycle, it deposits larvae on a cricket. The larvae burrow into the cricket and consume it from the inside out. The tiny yellow fly, native to Central America and the southern United States, finds its host by listening for its high-pitched chirp, which it can hear from as far away as the length of a football field, and pinpointing its location.
And that was baffling to the acoustics community because an insect that small should not be able to localize sound that good.
That's acoustic engineer Neil Hall. In the journal Applied Physics Letters, he and colleagues at the University of Texas report on a prototype of the fly's hearing structure they've built based on previous studies.
And they discovered that it was doing it through a very clever mechanism where instead of using two independent ears like a human would, the fly's ears are actually coupled.
The fly's ears are 2 millimeters apart, a separation so slight that sound reaches one ear just 4 millionths of a second before arriving at the other. That should make it impossible to identify where a sound is coming from, but inside this fly's ear is what looks like a tiny seesaw, 1.5 millimeters long. Pressure waves force a motion that increases the sound delay, allowing the fly to locate and zero in on its prey. Hall and his team copied the seesaw mechanism in silicon. They also use special electric materials that allow them to simultaneously measure its flexing and rotation.
What we were able to accomplish with this prototype is exactly what the fly itself does, which is to localize audible sound. After discerning the motion of the structure, we were able to compute the direction of the sound source.
Hall sees applications of the work moving in 2 directions. On the battlefront, where sensors would be critical to localize where shots are originating, and in healthcare, to supply hearing devices that could filter out distracting background sound.
One thing the fly teaches us how to do is to hear in a certain direction while rejecting sound coming from other directions. That is a feature that is incredibly useful for hearing aids, for example. Where right now, if you turn up the gain of a hearing aid or turn up the volume to hear someone across from you, it also amplifies everything else in the room.
Hall says the remaining challenge in bringing such products to market is to make them practical to handle. Because the device is so small, it's delicate, he says, a concern that the fly does not have to worry about. Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.
To learn more, log on to our website, www.voanews.com.
And post your questions or comments on our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And you can always email us your comments by addressing them to voaasia@voanews.com.
Baby, does he do it for you? When he's finished, does he step back and adore you? I just gotta know. Does your time is money? Wasted. Oh no, no.
The late Philip Seymour Hoffman's last film, A Most Wanted Man, opened in the United States Friday.
Hoffman, who died of a heroin overdose in February, plays Gunter Bachmann, the head of a secret anti-terrorist team in Hamburg, Germany.
The team is after 26-year-old Isa Karpov, a half-Chechen, half-Russian immigrant who has turned up in Hamburg, the city where some of the 9/11 hijackers were based.
Karpov reaches out to human rights lawyer Annabelle Richter, played by Rachel McAdams.
Richter agrees to help Karpov claim an inheritance worth tens of millions of euros, but German intelligence agents want to arrest him as an escaped terrorist.
He doesn't want the money. He just doesn't want it.
Half radical, half rich kid, half Russian, half Chechen, loves his mother, hates his father. You and I both know Isa Karpov has no idea what he wants.
Hoffman's character recruits the banker who holds the money. His aim is to get at a Muslim philanthropist who the team believes is bankrolling terrorism.
Robin Wright stars as Martha Sullivan, a CIA agent who helps Bachmann get 3 days to resolve the situation.
And your friend Michael Axelrod, I had no
idea. Banker, do we know what Karpov wants from him?
Not yet, and if we move against him now, the chances are we never will.
I think he knows what he's doing, Otto. Maybe you should let him get on with it.
You have 72 hours to bring this matter to resolution. If not, we will, with or without your cooperation. Okay?
Okay.
At the premiere, Rachel McAdams told the Associated Press that working with Hoffman was a rare privilege.
It was an incredible experience. He's a very generous and giving actor, and I learned a lot just from watching him work. I think he's one of the greatest actors that's ever lived, and so it's a real loss to the world, obviously. This is another incredible performance by him.
Robin Wright said that she was glad her final work with Philip Seymour Hoffman was a part that meant something.
He was one of our greats. Incredible actor. We had worked together years ago in a little thing we did for HBO, and always wanted to immerse ourselves in, something meaty, and we finally got to do it. Feel blessed to have gotten to work with him.
Wright says that she also learned a great deal making the film.
I got to actually tour around Langley, and I got to interview a lot of agents, and funnily enough, the agents that do all of this minutia work, which is basically what this character does in America, are female. That was fascinating, shocking. That's the greatest thing about what we do, though, our craft, right? We get to educate. We get a college education on every topic.
A Most Wanted Man is directed by Dutch filmmaker Anton Corbijn, who also directed George Clooney's 2010 thriller, The American.
Rachel McAdams says that Corbijn was able to lighten the mood on the set, something that was badly needed when filming such a dark subject.
Very gentle set, very tender. It is a dark film at times, so there was a real tenderness that was a counterpoint to that when we were making it. Very creative. Creatively positive, rich place to be. So I loved working on it.
A Most Wanted Man also stars Willem Dafoe as banker Tommy Brew and Grigory Dobrigin as Isa Karpov.
A Most Wanted Man is based on the novel by John le Carré and is distributed by Lionsgate Films here in the United States.
So what about you? Do you like spy thrillers? Do you have a favorite movie?
Let us know by logging on to our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
China is a fascinating country
with interesting people doing amazing things.
Every Friday, we focus attention on some of our favorite things coming out of China during the previous week.
It may be political, it may be cultural.
It may simply be a curiosity that caught our attention.
But we'll find stories sure to be of interest.
And then, of course, we'll add our own American perspectives as well.
I'm Sarah Williams.
I'm Jim Stevenson.
Join us for China Focus every Friday at 12 hours Universal Time on VOA Radio.
And anytime on the web at voanews.com and on Facebook VOA Asia.
Tomorrow way too far away, and we can get back yesterday, but we young right now, we got right now, so get up right now, cause all we got is right now.
Manny, have you ever watched the TV show Downton Abbey?
No, I have not, but it sounds lovely.
Oh, lovely.
Just lovely.
It sounds so posh.
I love the way the British speak.
Oh, yeah, well, they would say that they're the only ones in the world that speak English.
Well, they're very romantic as well. It's a beautiful language.
It is a hugely popular British period drama, too. It doesn't air here in the United States for almost 6 months, but already there is a buzz about season 5.
The series, which is also very popular in Asia, particularly in China, follows the lives of the Crawley family, a wealthy earl and his wife and daughters.
Fans have flocked to the actual castle in England, where segments of the show are filmed. Tours of the house and grounds help to sustain the place.
The promo for the new season foreshadows change at Downton, but what that change is, we haven't heard.
One storyline that is expected to feature high is the after effects of the rape of one of the characters, Anna, in season 4.
We must tell someone.
No, no, no.
But you have to tell Mr. Bates.
Him least of all. If he knew, he'd murder the man who's done it, and then he'd be hanged.
But surely
he's a convicted felon. Didn't it spare him a second time? No.
Maybe the doctor's still here.
Will you listen? I need your help, or I wouldn't have told you. Nobody else must ever know.
Joanne Froggatt plays Anna, and she says the character has lost something that will take time to find again.
But she starts, I think she comes into season 5 changed by what's happened to her. Certainly I feel, or I felt playing her, that I wanted to sort of show that there's just a little spark that's gone in her for the time being, you know, that it's not going to be rebuilt very quickly because things like that aren't, you know. I didn't want her to all of a sudden sort of be, oh, everything's fine, you know, and although she's getting on with everything in the same way, I just feel like there's just a sort of a little sadness about her.
Another theme that viewers can expect is what becomes of Lady Edith Crawley, one of the family daughters, who had a baby out of wedlock and gave it up for adoption last season.
Have you met my niece and her charming bastard?
I refuse to be shocked. But what will you say when Mr. Gregson walks through the door with a full explanation for his silence?
Nothing. I pray he is alive. But if he is, I won't say a thing.
And you will marry him?
If he still wants me to.
Laura Carmichael plays Edith and says keeping her secrets, or losing them, is part of the drama.
The family don't really understand why she can't pull herself together and get over Gregson. No idea about the pregnancy and the child. She's living with a lot of secrets and a lot of pain. So there's a lot of pull yourself together, Edith.
Also, season 5 will see the re-emergence of one of the main characters, Lady Mary Crawley, who is carrying on with life after the death of her husband, Matthew, at the end of season 3.
Michelle Dockery, who plays Lady Mary, says that fans can look for her to regain some of her vigor and edginess.
Series 5 for me is very much like the new Mary, because once she's kind of through all of that grief and she's moving on, she really starts to embrace the, you know, social changes, embraces fashions. Because, of course, she was, you know, wearing black and lilacs for most of the last series. So it's a really kind of new chapter for her this year.
Season 5 is set in 1924, but it will not feature Emmy-nominated American actor Paul Giamatti or Oscar winner Shirley MacLaine.
The series will air in Britain before it debuts on U.S. Public Television Network on January 4th.
So are you a fan of Downton Abbey? Does the life of a British aristocratic family fascinate you?
Let us know your thoughts by logging on to our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Now VOA Show.
Pop reggae group Magic sits atop the Billboard Hot 100 music charts this week with their single Rude.
But Magic is just one of several international acts making inroads into the U.S. pop music scene.
VOA's Roy McDonald joins us in the studio to talk about some of the other acts. Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Now, Ray, Magic, I was in the gym. I heard this song, Rude, playing on the loudspeaker. It seems like it's everywhere. It's very popular. It's very catchy. But what's the background on this group?
Well, Magic is a Canadian pop reggae band from Toronto, Canada. And apparently there's a pretty large Jamaican community in the Toronto area. We have had Canadian pop reggae artists topped the Billboard Hot 100 before. Back in 1993, a guy named Snow went to number one with a song called Informer.
I remember Informer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Lickety boom boom down. Yeah. Okay. Don't do that. Don't do that.
The leader of Magic is a fellow by the name of Nasri Atwe, who he was born in Toronto, raised there, has Palestinian parents. And he was a fairly successful singer-songwriter in Canada before he put the group together. But this is his big international breakout hit. And it also points up the international aspect of this week's top five.
Now, who's number two? I understand we have another act from across the pond, shall we say.
Exactly. A very large pond, actually. Iggy Azalea is a rapper from Australia who moved to Miami when she was 16 years old without telling her family. And she really wanted to be an American rapper. And she was taken under the wing of T.I., who's a very well-known rapper out of Atlanta.
With Pharrell Williams and Robin Thicke.
Exactly.
Sure, they had number one hit last year.
And Iggy has broken out with her debut album, The New Classic. At number two, we have Fancy, featuring Charlie XCX, who's a British pop singer. If you move down to number three, you have Sam Smith with Stay With Me. Sam is another British singer who won the BBC's Sound of 2014 poll. At number four, you have Ariana Grande with Problem, featuring Iggy Azalea. And Ariana is the lone U.S. native in this week's top five. She was born in Florida. And at number five, you have Nico and Vins with Am I Wrong? Nico and Vins were both born and raised in Norway, but their parents come from Africa.
All right. Well, that's VOA's Ray McDonald. Ray, thank you for being with us. And you can always check out Ray's top five countdown on our website. That's www.voanews.com. Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Now.
If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at voaasia@voanews.com.
Be sure to visit our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
We might read one of your comments on a future show.
And you can always follow us on Twitter at Now VOA Show.
Patrice Martin produces our program.
The managing editor of VOA English is Diane Gao. Until tomorrow, I'm David Byrd.
And I'm Manny Eck.
Join us again for another edition of Now. So am I.